And we are live. Once again, it is the Field of 68 Best Bets podcast and Best Bets live stream. My name is Rob Dosser. The hatless gentleman you see over there is the one and only Jeffrey Goodman. Jeffrey, how are you doing, sir? Is everything good with you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's supposed to be a little bit nicer out today than it was yesterday. So I'm hoping to at some point maybe take a walk. I'm not that far from downtown. The Residence Inn is kind of just on the outskirts. So I'm hoping to take a little walk and get downtown, get some lunch maybe outside, and maybe even meet the one and only Brian Snow for lunch. I'm not sure, though. I don't know. I don't know if I need that negativity in my life.
I think I would rather be by myself.
Yeah, that might be the logical call, but I think I'm going to end up – there's nobody here. I guess – okay, so that's let's talk about that for a second. Because the atmosphere now in between the Sweet 16, the first, second round of the Sweet 16 is usually electric, right? You know, everybody stays around and the coaches are here and it's awesome. Well, it's not, I mean, I guess the Final Four, it's before the Final Four usually. But now it's like everybody went home. There's this gap of 4 days and nobody's here right now. Like, nobody's here, Rob. There were no coaches that came anyway. With 16 teams left, but they can't – I can't see anybody from them. So it's like – and there's not a whole lot of media. A lot of the media even went home. The ones who could drive home went home. You know, I kind of second-guessed myself whether I should have flown back home. But I just felt like, all right, you know what? And then I got to fly back for Friday. So
The big thing is that just means that it's two extra flights on a plane you're getting up to the age range where COVID could be kind of scary for you, you know.
Definitely. I'm right there.
You're definitely an old man these days. But it really has been a weird vibe for like the kind of tournament that we've had. Like, I remember when Dunk City happened. Yeah. I literally did like 6 radio hits a day. Now maybe that's just because like I've been a little bit more selective in terms of the radio shows that I'll go on these days. I just don't have the time, but it doesn't feel like there's the same level of overwhelming attention that goes to it. And I don't know.
You know what else is missing? Here's the other part. I talked to your coach yesterday. What's missing is for these kids after going to the Sweet 16, think of Oral Roberts when they go back to campus, what it's like. They get like huge gathering, right? And then they get a send off to go back out. These kids don't get that. Like Florida Gulf Coast got all that. They got it when they came back to campus. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure they got like in the gym, you know, everybody kind of honoring them. And then when they left, they got something else. And that's the hard part for these kids. They don't get that. They don't get the same experience at all.
Yep. All right, so let's kind of go through this region by region. It feels weird like we don't have all that much to talk about and we're kind of going over the same stuff. So I just kind of want to go through like the storylines and the favorites from each of these regions, the things that you're looking forward to the most, like the storylines, X factors, and the favorites. So let's start with the West, just because I feel like that's the most obvious storyline that you can get with the Gonzaga, Creighton, USC, and Oregon. So why don't you start, Jeffrey? What's the biggest storyline there?
I mean, I think it's the point guard matchup maybe between Zagorowski and Suggs that we're looking at. You know, Zagorowski's the veteran. But I think it's both. It's that, and also, again, like we talked about a little bit yesterday, two of the best shooters in the country are going to be on the floor. Now, one can jack it 15 times from three, and you wouldn't even flinch. The other, Mitch Ballack, sometimes barely shoots it. And he's one of the best shooters. Wouldn't you agree? Like, if you're talking top 10 shooters in the country, Mitch Ballack has to be on that list, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he also fires it up from deep. He loves a good 30-footer. But yeah, you know, for me, the biggest storyline is just – whether or not Gonzaga is going to make it undefeated. That's the biggest storyline of the entire tournament to me. Like that's the most interesting thing. That's the thing that everyone should be talking about. I know we have 15 seeds here and we have UCLA back and all of these other things, but it's can USC make it through this entire season undefeated. USC. Right. Can Gonzaga make it through this entire season undefeated? And I think that they're going to. I think that they are talented enough that they will beat everybody by at least 10 points. So who's the X factor for you in that region?
It's Balak. You mean a player or you mean a team or what do you mean?
Player, team, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's Balak for me for Creighton because if he hits like 7 threes, they're going to be right there. You know that. Like if he has one of those nights, and again, if I'm Greg McDermott, I'm saying let it fly. And he told me, like he's told me in the past, he wants Mitch to shoot more. And Mitch, for some reason, man, if I had that flamethrower, I'd be jacking it every single time. And I know you would. You do with what you have, you jack every single time. And
yeah.
You can't shoot with a lick.
Look, these shots are going to get themselves, Jeffrey. Everyone knows that. These shots are going to shoot themselves. For me, the biggest X factor in that region is Isaiah Mobley. When he plays the way that he did on whatever day, Monday night, I guess, when they beat Kansas, like that changes what this USC team can be because all of a sudden they become that much more difficult to guard. They become that much more difficult to match up with. And when you have 2 6-foot-10 guys that can play on the perimeter like their guards, you're suddenly you have a team that might be able to, you know, they're going to cause Oregon problems and they might be able to match up with Gonzaga. So for me, it's Isaiah Mobley is the one that, that I think will determine whether or not USC can, one, get to the Elite Eight, and two, actually have a chance to pick off Gonzaga once they do get to the Elite Eight. All right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more USC's guards. Can they handle Oregon's, all those wings, right? Like Oregon's got really good wings, you know, big, strong, physical wings. Duarte, Figueroa, Richardson, they're all big boys. Like, so I think it might be more of that than anything else. I don't know if they need Isaiah Mobley as much as they need their wings to be and the guards to be able to, you know, whether it's Peterson or some of those other guys, they gotta be able to play with those Oregon wings.
Yeah, you know who would know about that USC Oregon matchup better than anybody?
Who? Who?
One and only Mick Cronin, USC head coach. Mick, what's going on, man? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
There he is.
Can you hear me? Did I do this right?
You did. You did. Look at you. You're a pro. You are an absolute pro at this. I mean, the camera could go the other way, but we're not going to nitpick, Mick. You did this. Look at that. Look at that.
All right.
I can't see your heads, but that's okay.
You can't?
Yeah, you're better off not seeing it.
My computer's on Alabama right now. I had to hit pause.
So, hey, Mick, I've worn this hat a lot throughout the season, but I'm, can you see this?
Let's hold on. Let me turn it back. Oh.
I've worn that a lot, but I'm going with a Cal hat for you. I don't have a UCLA hat, so I'm going to stay with Pac-12 Unity.
Okay.
Being an Arizona guy, I'm going to stay with Pac-12 Unity. I have the Cal hat on right now.
I got it. I'll take it. All right? I'll take it. We're same system, UC system.
There you go. The UC system that – I want to start with this, Mick. Like, you and I talked before the season for a while, and I don't think people realize what you guys were up against. Not just you, but even USC. You guys were up against before the season, and that other schools were practicing indoors. They were doing their thing, and you guys couldn't do jack – you know what? Like. Yeah. You couldn't do anything to win.
Stanford, Cal, you know, everybody out west, you know, just so literally I sent my team. We came home from Vegas last March, conference tournament canceled. We had a meeting the next day. I had a bad feeling and I just said, look, guys, I was concerned. I said, we're headed for online. Yeah. They're going to shut us down. You know, I was just talking about, you got to stay on your academics because at UCLA, we're on the quarter system. So we had a lot, you know, we were headed to academics till June. I didn't know that I wasn't going to see them for the next 6 months. Wow. 6 months. I didn't see my guys from March 12th to September 21st. And then you got to remember in the Pac-12, they announced in August. Remember, we weren't even play until January. We were worried our players were going to hurry up and try to transfer so they could play somewhere. It was so crazy, you know, and the Pac-12 is a group of coaches. We became really close. We started literally almost a daily Zoom that Sean Miller had his ops guy set up, you know, without the league, just the coaches, banding together to try to figure out how we got back our preseason, you know, our non-conference season, said. So, and literally we talked as coaches 4 or 5 times a week, just us, not just when we had our, you know, with the Pac-12. So huge disadvantage. 6 months. No, you know, no camaraderie, no development, no player development. Can't help, can't develop a guy's body. You know, I'm talking to Cody Riley every week. He's in spin classes in a parking lot in out in Northridge. Because I'm worried about, you know, his legs are so big. Just anything you're trying, you know, guys, and it was lockdown, guys. You couldn't get in a gym for months. So, like, our guys, you know, couldn't even – then as it loosened up, guys are sneaking in back doors of their old high school at night,
yeah.
you know, to get a few shots up. So, it was crazy. I mean, I think it hurt the Pac-12 early in the year. That's why it took our teams a while to really gel and play better, as you've seen late in the year.
So, Mick, you talked about not seeing people for a long time. You saw your dad for the first time, and was it a year?
No, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
And I don't know why. Because I can hear
you. Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Jeff.
That's strange.
Very really strange.
All right, go ahead. You asked.
I'll ask the questions then. Rob,
I'm sorry, man.
Jeff, tell him I'm the pretty face. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all
he's just going to try to look good, Mick, and you don't have to hear him, which is probably better. If I didn't have to hear him, it would be a better show. Trust me.
Sorry.
He was asking you. You know, that you saw your dad for the first time in basically a year last week. That was it was touching. Honestly, for me, for other people. But these are the things that, like, make this tournament so unique this year. Most of them aren't for the better. Let's face it. Most of them are not for the better.
Other than the fact that we're playing.
Right.
Everything's for the worse.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look what happened to VCU. Oh, my God. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know, poor Mike Rhodes and them guys. But no, my dad, I mean, my dad's my best friend. When I was at Cincinnati, he stayed in my room. He sat next to me on the charters. After, you know, my last 6 years, he had retired from professional baseball scout. You know, and I, you know, I talked to him every day, guys. So, you know, but literally I was like, so, you know, we won the game. I wanted to go talk to Coach Izzo, and I hit the brakes to go talk to my dad. And the security's trying to stop him. They're panicking. Like, you got to stay away from each other. I'm like, dude, I haven't seen my dad in a year. Get the hell out of the way.
You know, that's great. Get
the hell out of, I mean, come on now. I'm not going to hug him. We'll stay 6 feet apart. But I'm going to go talk to my dad. I haven't seen the guy in a year. I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, it's just crazy.
No, it's amazing. I don't think – I mean, again, you don't even know what the atmosphere is like in Indy. Like, today, there's nobody here. It's the weirdest feeling, Mick. Like, it's the strangest feeling to see coaches. The only time I've seen anybody is, like, after games. Like, Joe Golding the other day from Abilene Christian, they win. They beat Texas, and he kind of comes up. He's so happy. He's, like, going to come up to me, and I think he's going to hug me. I'm like, Joe, stay away. Like, I don't want you to be kicked out of the tournament, my man. Like, stay away. You know
about that,
right?
I mean, you're here, but you're on. No, I haven't seen you. I mean, I will tell. I've had this. The one cool thing. I mean, look, there's 16 teams left, so it's you know, you want to be one of them. But now they moved all 16 teams to the Marriott, where we have been already. So we didn't, but we did get our rooms cleaned finally yesterday. while we were at the zoo, we got our rooms cleaned. So, but it's now like a big AAU tournament. We're all in the same hotel.
Jam. Yeah, it's just a beach jam.
It's a beach jam, except we got better hotels, as you know.
Yes.
So, and then we walk over to practice in the convention center. You know, you see each other. I mean, it's really nuts. I just went down and you know, got my Starbucks.
Nice.
You got to put in your order the night before.
I got this one.
There you go.
I got that.
You put in your order the night before, you go down, the coaches are all down. There's a table where you pick it up.
Yeah,
literally in the lobby, I counted them. There's 9 security people, and they're doing nothing because
there's nothing to do.
But I was on the radio back in LA, I was telling Petros and Money guys, it's like, it's literally, it's like being like in Hong Kong and you're locked down with the protesters. I mean, it's just crazy. You know.
And Mick, I mean, one of the things that I think has blown me away that, again, I don't think people understand what you've had to go through. Okay, so you had to go through, you know, not seeing your players for 6 months. You also lose the two best players, not just the best player in your team this year. You probably lose your two best players from what you thought it was going to be prior to the season. Chris Smith goes down with a season-ending injury, but Dacian Nix is a stud point guard. Not good, terrific, like plays the game the right way. He's going to be a pro someday. And basically the G League Ignite, they steal him out from under you. I mean, yeah. I know you got to be careful what you say here, but
no, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's bullshit.
Well, you know, the thing that bothered me about the reports was that, you know, he was committed. No, he was signed.
Right.
So, you know, the NBA understand. Trust me, they know my displeasure, but trust me, they don't care either. You know, there's a fallacy out there that there's a partnership and there's not. You know, the college basketball has been free minor league system for the NBA for 40 years. And that's what you do to your, you know, then so now you're trying to take our mark because you want to steal our market share for ESPN, you know, for whoever to, you know, it's a business decision. You know, they're front off. Look, they're in this business to make money.
Of course.
They're a business. So I don't begrudge them, but let's not act like it's something different. Okay. There is a systematic approach to what they're trying to accomplish and taking the market share away from college basketball. And they actively recruited a signed player, which they said they were not going to do. So, you know, that is what it is. But yeah, that didn't help because he could have played with Tiger Campbell.
Oh,
they played together because Dacian Nix is 6'5". You know, so, you know, it's not like he had two little guys, you know, and then Chris, God, he's such a good kid, guys. I mean, he's such a good kid. I mean, if you see him, I mean, he didn't do anything. I mean, Larry Krystowiak looked at me. The game was pretty much over and Chris just ran and caught the ball in front of their bench. Nobody touched him. I thought he slipped. And Larry told me later, he goes, man, that's how I guess that happened to Larry in his career. In the NBA, and he was like, man, he goes, I was so worried when that happened. Like, he actually called me. He's like, hey, how is he? But we had to wait a day to get the MRI. So, yeah, I mean, you know, then you lose Jalen Hill a month later. It's so, but hey, look, man, you know, you still got players, right? Your job as a coach is to find a way, right? It's to find a way to win. You know, you can't give in. You know, you got to convince your guys we can do it, albeit it's going to be harder. Right. I mean, it's going to be harder, just like it's going to be harder for us to beat Alabama than it was, you know, to win our last few.
Sure.
Although that Michigan State game, guys, man, that was a tough assignment. Wow. Mm-hmm. To go to Purdue, fly across the country. I mean, and that game was a bloodbath and it took our guys a long time to adjust to the way that game was officiated and played. Not a Pac-12 game, let's just say that.
No. Michigan State the last month or so has been playing a little bit of wrestling ball, I would say, with Tom Izzo. Which, you know what? You played it. You played it at Cincy, so you
gotta
get it.
Got to do it, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. No, you do what you got to do to win.
Yeah.
All right, before we let you go, I got two more for you. Give me your take on Alabama first. I mean, they're super talented. I think I was the only one who had them ranked in the preseason top 25.
Really?
Yeah, I love their talent. Now, Doster will tell you I've done it every year the last 3 years. So finally, I hit the dartboard with it with Alabama, which is probably true. But I love Herb Jones. Herb Jones might be my favorite player in the country.
Yeah, you know, I'll take you guys. You guys are. I'm older than you guys. I think. You know, I have a friend.
I think we're the same age, Mick.
So then you'll remember. There's a guy who played at Cincinnati named Herb Jones.
Yeah, oh yeah, from way back. Yeah,
great player, led Cincinnati. He led Cincinnati to the Final Four. Now, Nick Van Exel was a great guy, but Herb Jones was the leader and the best player on that team that year. Nick was a junior, Herb was a senior. Versatile player, not as tall as this Herb Jones, but was a elite European player for 18 years, best player in Italy. turned down offers to come back. Great guy, very similar, can do everything just like this Herb Jones. But they're, you know, look, let's be honest, they're shooting. Put so much pressure on your defense for 40 minutes. I mean, it just stretches you. And then I coached against Nate. We played. People didn't see it because the game was, it was in our friend Maury Hanks's tournament in the Cayman Islands. It was the first year of the tournament.
Yeah.
So you had to watch it on the internet. It was Cincinnati Buffalo. And that was Gary Clark's senior year. I had a great team. But Nate went to the tournament that year.
Yeah.
You know, it was a hell of a game. We played him in reverse. You know, we Maury gives me Buffalo. We're the one seed. He gives me Buffalo in game one.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable game. You know, then we won the next two by 30. But Buffalo in round one was like, you know, after the game, I looked at Maury, what are you doing giving me this Buffalo in game one? You know. Yeah,
Nate's done a good job. Nate's done a really good job. He inherited some talent.
I think, you know, I know how he likes to coach.
Yeah.
Having played them, he wants faster athletes, and that's his comfort zone of coaching. Probably dates back to his high school days. You know, certain, you get a team that fits you, right? And they really fit. Just they fit him, and that he's just done a hell of a job.
All right, before we let you go. And this is the greatest interview ever, not hearing from Doster. Like, this, seriously, we got to do this again. It's almost like this was planned, Mick. This is absolutely phenomenal.
I'm on my phone. I don't know.
But whatever. It worked. So I know you're a big horse racing guy, big thoroughbred guy. And next Kentucky Derby, I'm not texting Bobby Hurley anymore for any tips. I'm texting you. It didn't work.
Just might as well burn your money.
Yeah, that basically – I killed it in the Oaks that year. I crushed it in the Oaks. I hit three trifectas with my wife, and then I lost everything in the Derby when I started asking Bobby Hurley for advice.
That'll break you.
When did your love for, like, the first bet you ever made on the horses was when? Do you remember?
I could barely see over the window when I went up with my $2 Old River Downs in Cincinnati, Ohio. So in Cincinnati, all the coaches that are teachers – they would work at the racetrack in the summer for their extra money. So that's how my dad grew up. And you know, he had worked there since he was a baseball player on full ride at Cincinnati. That was his summer job. And then as a teacher, high school coach, that's what he did. So for me to spend time with my father in the summer, I had to go to the racetrack. I didn't have a choice.
That's awesome.
So, you know, next door was a Cincinnati's version of Coney Island you'd have to go early when he signed in 3 hours before the races. And I would play hoops. They had a hoops over at by the poles, and then I'd jump the fence, come back. But, hey, my brother and I used to get in trouble because we'd be playing rubber ball and our ball would go out on the track. And they, you know, I'd call my dad, tell him, hey, get your boys are out on the track, like literally out on the racetrack because our ball went on the, you know. So, yeah, I grew up in a gym. And then, you know, for me to spend time with my father, he had four jobs. I had to go to baseball games to scout. I drove 4 hours to watch guys pitch when he was with the Atlanta Braves. I had to go to the gym to his practices, and I had to go to work with him to the racetrack. So, you're a product of your environment. So, yeah, now I own horses. I never thought that, you know, back then I could bet $2 on a horse. It was a lot. Now I'm fortunate to own some horses with some great friends of mine. One of them, Eric Johnson, plays for the Colorado Avalanche. Great guy. I know nothing about hockey, and he knows nothing about basketball. It's a perfect
there you go. It's a good partnership. Well, listen, we appreciate you jumping on, Mick. We do. Doster's just sitting there looking like a complete.
I feel terrible, man.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm telling you, this could not have been scripted better, Mick. So I appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll get to see you from afar Saturday. What do you play, Saturday or Sunday?
We don't play till Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah, you got a lot of time. That's what people don't get too. Like, you guys got a lot of downtime here, so we're probably doing you the favor here. Right.
Yeah. You know, they gave me a chair. I talked to them, and they gave me a chair right outside the door yesterday so I could sit outside.
Nice.
Yeah. I, you know, so
You're spoiled with that LA. Hey, that LA weather now. You're a little spoiled.
Brother, I don't ever sit. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I have TVs. I have a backyard open outdoor. I mean, that's everybody does in California.
The life of Mick Cronin. It's completely changed. The next thing you know, you're going to go soft, you know.
Oh, I'm already there, man. You know, we were here the first 2 days, and I was telling the guys, they were so worried about the, you know, your team. They're back here all this time, and it's raining and cold, and they want to go home. I said, well, I'm not worried about them. Worried about me. I'm shivering. What the hell? You know, I'm from LA.
It's all about me. It's all about me. All right, listen. Thanks for jumping on, man. We catch it up, and good luck this weekend.
Look at Dowster. It's great.
All right, take it easy, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There it is. Can you hear me, Rob?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
That was awesome. Seriously, that could not have worked out better. They couldn't hear you at all. I love it. I love it. The interview is much better without you, to be honest.
Look, it is what it is.
I get to relax
and listen to the sultry tones of Mick Cronin's voice.
Talking about the track. Like, we got to get that in here. I mean, this is best bets. Like, you don't think Mick Cronin knew that coming on?
Well, yeah, he knew. He was looking for advice on the horses. I love it. All right, so let's finish it out. We got three more regions to go through. I'm assuming that you agree with me that Gonzaga is the favorite out of the West region.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. Yes, that's safe to say.
I just, Joe, you're right. I do think that that Mick is going to kill it at UCLA. I just want to say that Jeff and I had a conversation when Steve Alford and Andy Enfield were hired in the same summer. Do you remember this, Jeff? We had a conversation. I forget what it was on, but I said that Andy Enfield was going to be more successful than Steve Alford at UCLA. And you said Steve Alford was going to be more successful. I just want to let you know that Andy Enfield right now is coaching for a chance to go to the Elite Eight with the number two pick on his roster.
Yeah, he was smart.
He's still at USC. Steve Alford is not at UCLA. So I've been waiting a long time to come on here and take my victory lap on that one.
Yeah, no, you can do it. And it wasn't that I thought Steve Alford was great. It was that I thought whoever was coaching UCLA at the time was really good. Hang on, I'll be back.
Where's he going? We lost him. First you couldn't hear me, now we lost Goodman. All right, anyway, so we'll move to the East region because both of us think that Gonzaga is the favorite in the West. The matchups obviously are Michigan and Florida State. On one side, and we have UCLA and Alabama on the other side. All right, Jeff. So, what's the key storyline coming out of the East region? Michigan, Florida State, and UCLA, Alabama. Is it Isaiah Livers' health? Is that the key storyline here?
Yeah, I mean it is, but I almost don't expect him to play. But yeah, going forward, obviously that's the big one here. I mean, I think, again, most people are going to want to see that Michigan-Alabama matchup. I think it's kind of Alabama right now. You know, I just think, honestly, the Crimson Tide are, once they get going, we saw it, right? We saw it in the middle of the season, how good they were. Once they kind of got their swagger, and they've got swagger. They've got a shit ton of swagger, right? And Nate Oates kind of leads that, right? They're just a fun team to watch because of how they play. So I feel like, honestly, having them in the Final Four would be entertaining in a lot of respects. You know, you got Nate Oates, who's got a big personality, not afraid to – I mean, pissed off Coach K earlier this season. He's pissed off Sean Miller. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, he's pissed off a lot of coaches because he'll say anything. So I think Alabama – Michigan matchup would be the matchup that everybody would be looking for there. And I think to have Alabama in the Final Four is something people can kind of latch on to too. Alabama basketball in the Final Four. Like, is Nick Saban, he would have to come, wouldn't he? Wouldn't Nick Saban have to cancel his plans and have to come to Indy?
I mean, before he did that, he probably would have to figure out who the head coach is for the basketball team to be able to ask him for tickets. So I think that's the first thing that he would do. I just imagine Nick Saban right now is Googling Alabama basketball men's head coach and trying to figure out, okay, Nate Oates, how can I get in contact with this guy? So I'm guessing that's probably what Saban's doing at this moment, just to make sure that he can lock in those tickets if they get there. For me, the X factor here is probably Javon Quinterly, Jellyfam JQ. We know how good Alabama can be, like when they get hot and they're hitting threes. And I know you love Herb Jones, and Herb Jones is awesome. And the whoever is at the five, whether it's Alex Reese or Jordan Bruner for Alabama, it really has made a difference. But I think where they can kind of struggle a little bit is when they get in the half court and they rely only on Herb Jones to be a playmaker, right?
Yeah.
Like they have a lot of guys that can make shots. They have a lot of guys that are scorers. There are a lot of guys that can get their own. But Javon Quinterly is like the one dude on that roster other than Herb Jones that can go and make a shot for somebody else or create a shot for himself, get in the lane, make something happen. And I think as he has been playing better down the stretch, and he's been awesome for like the last probably 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks, something like that. One, it's really good to see because, I mean, he's a good kid. He's a thoughtful kid.
Yeah.
And I know that it's been rough on him what's happened since everything when he committed to Arizona. So I'm happy for him that he's having success. And I think that, like, if he keeps playing at this level, if we get the Jellyfam back, like, it's
a great story. Yeah. And I wrote the story, I think, when he committed to Alabama or shortly after. I talked to him and his mom, and I talked to him again last year when they played at Rhode Island. I mean, the crazy part of this Alabama team, Rob, is I remember seeing him last year. I took my wife and daughter to the game they played at URI early in the season. They were awful, awful. And if you had told me that team, which is similar, like not a lot of different – I mean, there's some different pieces, but, you know, like – I mean, they had Kyra Lewis, who was terrific on that team, and they didn't do this. But, again, I think a lot of it is taking some time to understand the system for Nate Oates, right? Like, who plays this way in college?
Well, I don't know if it's just that. I think it's part of it is also just, like, confidence and getting back into a rhythm. You know, it's been a long time since he played this many minutes as a college basketball player. So,
yeah, I'm not saying him. I'm saying the team and the system.
Oh, yeah. And I also will say this. I remember last year – I know every coach always says that every player that is sitting out is the best player that they have in practice. Every time. But when you hear it from like two or three different coaches on the same staff, then you kind of sit there and you're like,
You believe Hodson? I mean, come on.
When you hear it from two or three different people on the same staff, then at some point it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, you know what? Maybe there's a maybe it's not a coordinated effort to lie to me about who their best player is on. Like, I also just don't understand like why you would people would lie about that. It's like, yeah, you know what? He's been good. Or no, he's been terrible. I don't know. Anyway, so who's your favorite to come out of that region?
Alabama now. It's Alabama. I mean, I had Texas before, and that was a shit show of a pick. I should have known, honestly. I should have known, but I thought all that talent, like I thought there was no way all that talent wouldn't go deep in the tournament. Like the veteran guards, Matt Coleman. I swear that wasn't Matt Coleman on the court against Abilene. That was somebody else. That could not have been Matt Coleman.
Yeah, he did not play very well. They were completely flustered. We don't need to go down that road again.
No, we don't.
I'm with you. I think Alabama is the favorite. I just think that that's a really tough matchup that Michigan has. It's a winnable one, but the length and athleticism of Florida State combined with the way that they play their defense to take you out of what you want to run that's a really, really difficult match for a team that has a 5'11" point guard. So
yeah, I was going to say Mike Smith to get to the Final Four.
Honestly, Mike Smith, assuming that Isaiah Livers isn't there, Mike Smith might actually be the X factor. That might be
He is the X factor. He totally is. I mean, honestly, he's going to have to go up against Florida State in their length. And then, oh, by the way, you get by them, you might see Herb Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that. All right, so let's move to the South. We have Baylor and Villanova. We have Arkansas and Oral Roberts.
These are the Saturday games, by the way. We just did the Sunday games. Now we're doing the Saturday games.
Well, we don't do anything in the right order here.
I know. I'm just letting people know.
Why would we be organized? That would be too off-brand for us.
We are not.
All right, so Baylor, Villanova, Arkansas, Oral Roberts. What's the key storyline there for you, Jeff?
I mean, obviously, to me, it's Baylor for me. Just again, can Baylor run through these guys? You know, everybody's gonna say it's Oral Roberts, right? Like, can they do it again? They're an awesome story. We've seen it. We've talked about Max Asmus probably more in the last week than we have talked about any player on this pod within a week's span, and O'Banner, both of them. But I think for me, it's like, can Baylor roll over Villanova? Can they start to pick up the steam to where, again, we say, hey, you know what? We need Gonzaga Baylor. I've said it all year. I haven't lost faith in the Bears like you did. You know?
Awesome. When did I lose faith in the Bears?
You jumped right off the wagon. You jumped right off. No, I never jumped off the Baylor wagon.
Well, what I said, for those of you that were paying attention, is that their defense was not the same when they came out of the pause.
Well, of course.
But that wasn't like an opinion. That was an empirical fact.
I get it, but there's a reason for it, Rob. Like,
why? I never said there wasn't a reason, but you
lost faith that they would get it back.
I never did. As soon as we talked, the main point that I made was that they had that week and a half to kind of figure things out. What I didn't realize, and what Scott Drew told us on Sunday night, was that they had one day of practice, like one actual practice, which was just baffling. I never thought about it like that. They had shoot arounds and game day stuff and one actual day of practice. So, but I 100% agree with you that the storyline here is Baylor. And can Baylor find a way to get to the national title game?
We're at the point now where we never thought we'd say this. I mean, think about 2 years ago, if we said, we need Baylor and Gonzaga to play for the national title, everybody would be like, well, what the hell are you talking about? We don't want that. But we want that matchup so bad. I mean, again, Alabama get there. That would be fun. You know, I think whoever comes out of that, you know, and we'll talk about it in a minute, the Midwest region, they're the Cinderella story, probably whoever comes out of there, maybe not Houston. But I think ultimately Baylor's the deal here. Can they put another one together, a full 40? Like they put 20 together in the last game. Can they put 40 together and just blow out Villanova?
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to end up happening. We've been over how I think that's going to play out. Who's the X factor for you? For me, it's Justin Smith. I think he's the guy that makes – so part of the reason I think that Arkansas is going to run Oral Roberts off the floor is because of the Oral Roberts wants to play small, wants to create mismatches. And Justin Smith is the guy that can kind of negate that because he can do everything you need a center to do, but he also has athletic to play. Why does this keep happening? Where does he keep going?
I move spots and I need my laptop's dying. So I just can't plug it in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Plug it
in. The preparation today is not there.
Yeah, so Justin Smith is a guy that allows Arkansas to be able to match up with Oral Roberts, and I also think he's the guy that will force Baylor to go small against them if they end up playing them in the Elite Eight. And forcing Baylor to go small with Vital at the five, I think, is the matchup where Arkansas matches up best with them. So to me, and look, he's averaging what 24.5 points and like 8 rebounds, a bunch of blocks. Like he's been awesome so far. So for me, it's Justin Smith. For Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think ultimately I can't wait for the Mark Vital, Jeremiah Robinson, Earl matchup. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the matchup I want to see. Like, the skill and finesse, excuse me, of Jeremiah Robinson, Earl against the toughness and power and I don't want to say lack of skill, but, like, Mark Vital never shoots the ball. He's just a killer. He's a killer defensively, and he, like, all he does is free up his teammates on the offensive end, and he's okay with it. Like, that's the best part. I think Mark Vital is honestly the most underrated guy on Baylor, because without him, all those other guys aren't what they are. Like, they fall in line in terms of, like, being team guys, and they're so connected and so unselfish. Why? Because Mark Vital doesn't give a shit about scoring the ball, and he's tough as shit.
Yeah, I agree with you saying that he's underrated, I think everybody knows how good he is. So is Baylor the favorite to get out of there? What do you think? Yeah,
I think they're absolutely the favorite to get out of there. I don't think there's any question.
Your pick to get out of there? Are you going to have them coming out of that region?
I have them winning it all.
You have them winning it all. All right. So right now, if you had to do – all right, we'll do that in a second, actually. So let's move down to the Midwest where we have – it's always hard for me to figure out because I'm looking at a bracket that's got everything just scribbled out in the Midwest region.
Yeah, I know. You need another one.
I didn't get a single team right.
Why don't you print out another one? Like, I'm at a hotel. I probably should go downstairs and print out a new one.
that would require me to plan ahead, and that's not my forte. All right, so we have Loyola Chicago and Oregon State in one matchup, and then we have Syracuse and Houston in the other matchup. So, what do you like there, Jeffrey?
I think I like Loyola after watching them dismantle Illinois, and again, I like Loyola before, but I just wasn't sure they were at this level again. But when you watch Cam Krautwig and some of their Williamson and some of their other guys on that team, they just play the right way. Like, give Porter Moser credit. Like, I mean, this is a guy who was fired at Illinois State, almost fired a few years ago at Loyola. Now he's got this team with an opportunity to make a second Final Four run in 3 years.
Crazy. It's crazy. Insane. Final Fours. Yeah, it's crazy.
Insane. And again, listen, you know, to me, it's a lot of it's about culture, but like, it's not like they're out recruiting dudes left and right. They're developing a lot of these players. I mean, they're developing them to where they can play and beat Illinois handily.
It's not just development either. It's the buy-in that they have, right? Everybody is on the same page. It's the fact that they work so well in concert together. It's the fact that they figured out a way to kind of hide some of the limitations that these guys have, while also, like, Cam Krautwig, there's very specific skills that dude has that make him useful. And Porter Moser is on the way to, like, completely accentuate everything that he does well without him being a liability on the defensive end of the floor, the way that other fives have been liabilities on the defensive end of the floor. It's really, really impressive. Yep. How he's been able to do that. So, yeah, I think that's the storyline right there for me. The X factor, I think, is probably the Syracuse zone.
Rebounding the ball. They got to rebound the ball.
And it's not just rebounding the ball. It's how effective is that zone going to continue to be against Houston? Like, Houston's got some good guards. You know, are they able to penetrate against that zone? Are they able to pass through that zone? Are they able to rebound against that zone?
Grimes is, you know, it's funny. When Grimes was coming out of high school, I saw him a bunch. And the one thing I'll say about Quentin Grimes is, and I don't know if he's lost this or it's just his role now, he's a very underrated passer.
Grimes?
Very underrated passer. So I think against the zone, he's got so much confidence now shooting the ball, better off the bounce than he's ever been. And I think, again, he's become a well-rounded player. Obviously, what will get him to the NBA is his size and ability to shoot the ball. If he can get to the NBA, that's what will get him there. But right. I think he's a good passer and an underrated passer. So that should help them against the Syracuse zone. I still think it's can Cuse keep Houston off the glass because they're animals in there. I mean, they're absolute. They're so tough. The typical Kelvin Sampson team. And Syracuse better rebound the basketball.
Yep, I agree. All right, who's your favorite to come out of that region? Is it Loyola?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but yeah, I think so. I mean, it should be Houston as the number two seed. That should be a joke. And yeah, somebody just in the chat said, "Is Giroux the ultimate guard you want to go to war with?" Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him at UMass even before he got to UMass. Him and the kid Gresham, and I was like, man, UMass has got some studs. I went there for practice before the freshman year, and I love him. I mean, he's tough as shit. Those are two New Orleans kids that are just – they bring toughness. Played through a major hit pointer and was really effective in their last win.
Yep. So give me your new updated Final Four. Is that Gonzaga, Alabama, Baylor, Loyola? Is that right?
Yeah.
You know what that kind of reminds me of a little bit? It reminds me of the 2015 Final Four when we had Kentucky, Wisconsin, Duke, and Michigan State, where we had kind of like three teams that we wanted to see there the whole season long. And then, by the way, we just happen to have like Michigan State there. They get wrecked in the first round in the Grayson Allen breakout game. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it. I remember it well.
The Grayson Allen breakout game. Yeah, so.
Yeah, Braden Norris was awesome too, Matt.
Yep.
Braden Norris has to play well in this one. I just think they're just such a good team. And they made a ton of threes in that last game. They made a ton of threes, I think, in both of these games. They've shot it really well and really efficiently from three. So if they can do that, yeah, I think Norris is an X factor guy for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll go through detailed each one of these matchups, and maybe we'll have another special guest. Who knows?
And the best part is, if we have another special guest and Rob can't talk to him and they can't hear him, that would be
well. Next time they come on,
you're gonna mute yourself.
Yeah, we'll just sit there and be quiet. And we'll say
you should have kicked me out and seen if then you could talk to me. See, that would have been the smart play for you.
No, it would have been awkward because he wouldn't have been able to hear me. And I would have just been sitting there like, and it would have been like, Rob, I can't hear you. Rob, I can't hear you. Rob, I can't hear you. And this, it would have been the worst show ever. Like, this show already isn't very good. That would have been the worst show ever.
You know, and you got, listen, the other thing, guys in the chat, if you have suggestions, now we can't really bring players onto this because it's called Best Bet. So I just haven't gone there and I don't think we should go there. But anybody else, any other suggestions you have, we'll try to get them. We'll try to get them. I mean, again, obviously it's tough this time of year right now. Guys are starting their scouts and they got meetings in the morning. But as we saw with Mick, like, you get them when they're drinking their coffee and have them come on for 10 minutes. So we'll try to get that done.
Yep. And Jeffrey,